السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت مفتي عبد القادر صاحب, once again, أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you, مفتي صاحب. The first question, can one use a suppository medicine while fasting?
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته to you, مع سليم كريم. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Understand the principle of the Mufsidatu Sawm, which means the things that will nullify and break the fast. Any food, medication, and so forth that goes through the mouth will break the fast. Any medication through the nose, the nostrils will break the fast. Any medication through the back passage, Allah forbid. Always read this dua mentioned in Sunan Nasai and Abu Dawood. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam wa taqaf. O Allah Jalla Wala, I seek your protection from the dreaded diseases, the terrible illnesses and sickness. So that is piles and so forth, bawasir and so. So now people who have this, they insert the suppository sometimes whilst they are fasting also. So medication through the back passage, remember, will break the fast. A person is cleaning himself after defecating and so forth, water and so, and sometimes the water goes at the back through the back passage and so forth, so whilst it's making istinja, so all that will not break the fast. Medication, yes, will break the fast. So remember that a person who uses the suppository, that will break the fast, and one qada compulsory. Similarly, for you ladies, this is that anything that goes through the front passage, medication or the apparatus, the gynae and that users, so all that, remember, will break the fast. That is for females only. So at least these basic rules, we should know what are the things that will nullify and break the fast.
An imam is involved in interest transaction and fraud. Is it permissible to read Tarawih Salat behind him?
This is a three-part question. Number one, for any person, whether he's an imam or maulana or sheikh or ordinary Muslim, as we will say, remember to get involved in the riba and interest. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has condemned it with such strong language. For no other crime did Almighty Allah use severe warnings. Go read chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 275 to 279. I read for you just one verse and you will understand the ramifications and consequences. Chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 279. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, if you don't abstain and refrain from this interest and interest-related transactions, then فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, then be prepared for a war against Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatul Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 6,236 verses in the Noble Quran, 114 chapters. Nowhere did Almighty Allah mention such a warning like how Allah mentioned for interest and usury, ribad, sood, voyage, call it whatever you want to. So it is such a heinous crime, absolutely haram. And if an imam, the sheikh, the maulana, mufti does it, so obviously it becomes worse. Fraud, chapter 83, verse number 1. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ, woe and destruction in Jahannam. For to the fraudsters, today people think they give out zakat and they give out lillah khairat. But how did you obtain and attain that money and that millions? Through fraudulent means and so forth. So many Muslims are involved in it. So remember, Allah says, you continue with this, you go straight to Jahannam, chapter 83, verse 1. And the imam does it, obviously that's much worse. So that's one issue. Fraud, interest, all that absolutely, totally haram, unlawful, and unacceptable in Islam. Second one, the trustees are the people who appoint the imam. So when they appointed an imam like this, who according to the question is a person involved in interest and fraud, so you, the musalli, the person who reads salat behind him, your salat is valid. But the sin will be on the Imam himself for getting involved in all this unsavory and all these haram activities and so forth, that is your interest and fraud and so forth. And the trustees will be guilty. Therefore, who are the people who are entitled to be trustees? Today is Peli Peli. When we were very young, 60 years ago, now the big shots, they will select the team. You in, you out, you in, you out. You see, we're going to play soccer, cricket, whatever. Yeah, 60 years ago, plus minus. So we should call it Peli Peli. Peli Peli means that if he likes you and you his friend, then he will pick you for the team and select you. He don't like you, he'll drop you, you see. So that is what happens now. I don't say all, but we will say we know in most cases that the trustees remember that they will see that this guy is from my gam, my village, my family. He speaks my tal, my language and so forth. He comes from Dabelpur and I come from Dabelpur. I come from Mirzapur and he comes from Mirzapur. And he comes from this Kolvatpur, and then he. So we got all this gum mentality and all that. Then people, they are not fit to be trustees, and it's not fit to be an imam like that as well. Who are allowed to be trustees of a masjid? Allah Himself mentions it. Then ask yourself, do you fulfill all the conditions in the category? Chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse number 18. Chapter 9, verse 18. So it's easy to remember 9, then 18, then 27. So chapter 9, verse 18. Innama adatul hasar wal qasar. So these are the words for exclusivity. Only exclusively these people are entitled to be trustees, officials of a masjid. Ya amuru masajid Allah, they must oversee the maintenance and so forth of the masajid of Allah. So the masjid does not belong to any person, any family organization. They can be the directors, the trustees, the overseers. The ownership belongs solely, only, exclusively to Almighty Allah. Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir. Their belief structure must be right. They must believe in the oneness, uniqueness, majesty, authority, sovereignty of Allah. Wal yawmil akhir, the last day, the beginning and ending is mentioned. They can't be Shias, they can't be Qadianis, they can't be Aga Khanis, and they're non-Muslim themselves. How can you have them as a trustee? Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir wa aqama as-salah, and they establish the salat. They themselves are performing the 5 daily salat, whether in this masjid or any other masjid. Wa ata zakah, and they pay their zakat if zakat is compulsory, mandatory upon them. Wa lam yakhsha illa Allah, they don't fear anybody except Almighty Allah. They have to take tough decisions. That's the point I was making. So today when we appoint imam, we don't do that. We see that whether he's my personal friend, or whether he comes from my village, or whether he speaks my language, Haga Thai Kenni, Sago Thai Kenna. So I spoke to you Gujarati, Meman, all that, whether it's my connection or not. So those are the people Allah says, if you have these qualities, then you are fit to be a trustee. فَأَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. Understand this one jewel of tafsir. The word asa for me and you ordinary mortals will mean maybe, perhaps. But when it refers to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, not Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Ra'isul Mufassirin, who passed away in the year 68 in Taif, Muhammad bin Hanafiya performing janaza salat, Sayyidina Ali's son, he was a tabi'i successor. So he said that when asa refers to Allah, never you translate it maybe, perhaps you translate it definitely. Ulaika ayyakunu min al-muhtadeen, then such people will be the rightly guided people. So the sin is not upon you, the muswalli, the muqtadi. The sin is on the imam, the sin is on the officials, the trustees who appointed him. So remember, we must try always to appoint such imams who are honest people and not involved with interest and fraud and all these unsavory activities.
Okay, when in the state of roza, can one use medicated patch for pain on the skin?
Remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the Noble Quran, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَاتَّهَرُوا. So Almighty Allah is teaching us that if you are in the state of ceremonial impurity, now in Ramadan nighttime you fulfill the conjugal relationship with your wife, the husband, and you fulfill one another's conjugal rights and so forth, so ghusl will be compulsory. Now if you have all these patches, what have you on your arm or here and there, and then you can't remove it, you must keep it there and so forth, so obviously then it's not permissible, because your ghusl would not be valid. If your ghusl is not valid, then your salat is not valid, and so forth and so on. However, if you are putting that patch and all that just so that you don't feel hungry, but remember you got it here right on top, for example by the arm, so it's not going to impact on your wudu or anything, so then it will be permissible. But we must say in the same breath that the smoking and the vape and all that is not permissible. You must remember that nicotine and what have you, so all that in Islam is unacceptable. But your fast will be valid if you use that patch like that for that reason. But if you have that patch, you must remember for the ghusl purposes and all that, and it's irremovable that you can't change it and remove it, and so then to use such a patch would not be permissible. Go open chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse number 6, and there Almighty Allah teaches us, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَاتَّهَرُوا. Just look at the Quran. فَاتَّهَرُوا كَسْرَةُ الْحُرُوفِ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ كَسْرَةِ الْمَعَانِي. The more letters there are in the word, the greater the emphasis in the meaning. So make a proper, thorough ghusl when you are in that state of ceremonial impurity. So therefore, in that case, to use a patch and then you can't make a proper ghusl, that patch is not permissible.
Mufti Saab, I work in a huge mall. It is a Jamaat Khana. Lots of workers do not attend Jummah Salah. Will it be correct for me to perform my Jummah in the Jamaat Khana?
Remember that I was there now in Umslanga. So now you will see so many places they have Musalla. Better for us not to use the term Jamaat Khana. You know these Aga Khanis, so they use the word Jamaat Khana and so forth. I'm not saying it's haram or something. I'm saying it's not something desirable, meritorious. So what is the proper terminology we should use? Musalla. So you will say Musalla so and so, Musalla so and so. So remember that madhahib, I'm giving you the verdict according to the different schools. So in a case like that, according to the Hanbalis, the Shafi'is and the Hanafis, they will say if you read Jummah Salat in the masjid, you read in a musalla, you read in an open field, like, you know, Ijtima time, and there 20,000, 30,000 people assemble. So all that will be permissible. But according to Imam Malik, rahimahullah, لا تصح صلاة الجمعة إلا في المسجد. You can't have Jummah Salat except in a proper masjid. And the masjid must belong to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala exclusively. So today when you travel to Europe, America, there is something very common I saw, that they have Islamic centers, cultural centers, and they read their salat there and so forth. So majority scholars permissible. So similarly, you, my brother, you are there in Umslanga, you are there in some place, and remember there are hundreds of Muslims there working there. So you speak to your ulama there and tell them that, come on, you guys arrange Jummah here for us and so forth and so on. And you know the masajid afar, they only give us half an hour off and so forth and so on. So yes, the fatwa will be, it is permissible to perform Jummah Salat at such venues and avenues.
Mufti Saab, if the mother of the child is still a Christian and the child is born before the mother changes her Christianity to Islam, can I give the child a Muslim name?
Yes, the child, you must always give the child a Muslim name. Hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood, Mishkat Sharif. Innakum tud'auna yawm al-qiyama bi asma'ikum wa asma'i abaikum fa ahsinu asma'akum. Tomorrow on the day of justice, you will be called by your name and your biological father's name. Mine, Abdul Qadir bin Ismail bin Usman bin Hussein. Like that. So you must remember that. So you will be called by your child, will be called by the father's name, biological father's name. So fa ahsinu asma'akum, choose good names. It will have a real positive impact on that person there. So now both of you were non-Muslim or whatever the case was. Now you embrace Islam. And thereafter, one day, one week, then the mother embraced Islam. But you want to choose the name of the baby, you see. So now, yes, you must give a Muslim name with a good connotation and good meaning. And inshallah, then I just give you two examples. Ahabbul Asma ilallah, hadith in Tirmidhi. The most beloved names to Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala for a boy, Abdullah Abdurrahman. And for a baby girl, Amatullah Amaturrahman. So choose words like that. Abd means slave. Abdul Qadir Abdul Qadir. Abdul Rahman Abdul Rahim. Abdul Ghaffar Abdul Ghafur. So words like that. For daughter, Amma. Amatullah, Amatul Rahman, Amatul Rahim, Amatul Wahid, Amatul Ahad, Amatul Wahhab, Amatul Wadud. You see how many names you got already. So that they choose good names, inshallah, Aziz.
Uftisab in Ramadan to do more Umrah in Mecca or Tawaf.
The hadith is mentioned in Muslim Sharif. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umratun fi Ramadan ta'adilu hajjatan ma'i. There to perform one Umrah during the month of Ramadan is equivalent to performing Hajj with me. The Arab media, the Saudi media are saying that one day, that Thursday, today is Sunday, that Thursday there was a record crowd for a day. 500,000 people were inside the Haram and they just came from everywhere, basically min kulli fajjin amiq. And they were making Umrah, making Tawaf and so forth. So if that is the case now, what will happen in the middle 10 days and last 10 days? There'll be over 2.5-3 million people there. So therefore, those of you who are going, you should be physically and mentally prepared and so forth. Not that somebody trap your toes and push you. Then you say, hey, what happened? Yeah, in our hometowns, home countries, we are Mr. Somebody. There we are Mr. Nobody. So the question posed by Maulana Salim Kareem Hafizahullah is, you are going now in Ramadan. Is it better to perform more Umrah or is it better to perform more Tawaf? The fatwa is that you should perform more and more Tawaf, that and less Umrah. Remember that. Why? Because he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, man tafa bil bayti 50 marra, whosoever performed 50 Tawaf, one Tawaf is 7 circuits around the Baytullah, the black cube, as you say, for you non-Muslim, then it means 350 times you will go round the Baytullah. Kharaja min dhunubihi kayawmin waladatuhumuhu. You will come out of your vices and sins like the day your biological mother has given birth to you. I am not saying that now you are there in Makkah Mukarrama for 1 week or 10 days or whatever. You mustn't make another Umrah, and that one you made when you came from Medina. So you can make another one or two, but not to go every day and so forth. So where should you go for your Umrah? I give you three options. Either go to Tan'im. Tan'im is where Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, on the night of the 14th, Hajj, everything finished. Now the departure is going to take place of Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. Then she came crying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the wives perform Umrah and Hajj. I only perform Hajj. You know what happened? I was in menses. Okay, go with your brother Abdul Rahman and there Tan'im, make your intention and perform Umrah. So Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu took his sister, Ummul Mu'mineen Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, on the night of the 14th, and then performed the Umrah. From there, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has made istidlal and cited this incident that after Hajj, if you perform a Umrah, then you don't have to make a Tawaful Wida, it will fall away. So if you want to do it, that's your choice, but it's not compulsory. You see that? So that is what happened to Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. And you go to Jirana, another option. When Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Makkah in the 8th year of the Hijrah, then went to Hunain, then went to Taif, and conquered everywhere, came back in Zulqa'dah in the 8th year of the Hijrah, the place named Jirana. So from there, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform a Umrah. So therefore, Tan'im is Qawlun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fatwa and the saying of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from Jirana, you must go with the taxi, Dhahab Iyab, make a round trip, tell him to wait there 5-10 minutes. Everywhere, wonderful facilities. For that, we must, you understand, salute the Saudi government and regime. There, they made wonderful facilities. Then from Jirana, you come. So second option. Third one, go to Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah, the name is changed now, Shumaysiyah. You know, he Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba came right to Hudaybiyah in the 60 of the Hijrah, in the month of Zulqa'dah, and then the enemies, the idol worshippers, prevented them. So that's outside the Haram also, Hudaybiyah, Shumaysiyah. So these are the three places. So what we used to try and do, every time we make a Umrah, I tell my wife, come, we go here, we go here. So that is how we covered so many places with Allah's help, Allah's mercy. So try and do that, inshallah. Aziz, Allah accept the Umrah, Ziyarat. Ziyarat to Medina Munawwara, Ziyarat to Aqsa al-Mubarak. We South Africans are the fortunate ones. We have the means. So go and go. Go to Aqsa, Al-Aqsa Yunadika. Aqsa is calling you. Show solidarity. Come visit me. I am your first Qibla. So wake up, O Ummah, from your slumber and from your sleep.
Of the staff, for the ladies, if they use their gold and silver jewelry, is zakat applicable on it?
Remember that according to Hanafis only, whether you are using it or you are not using it, it is there in your pala-pala, in your safe, in your vault or wherever. And so whether you use it or not, zakat will be compulsory once the value reaches 12,000 rand or more. Or you got cash and you got jewelry, you take the total value of both, current market value, and then 2.5% zakat will be compulsory. So Hanafis don't distinguish between using it and not using it. The Shafi'is, Malikis, humbly say, La zakata fil huli. They say that the Shafi'is, Malikis, humbly, that there is no zakat on the jewelry for the ladies. And remember that there is no zakat on the jewelry for the ladies, but the one proviso condition is that they must be using it, and they must not be keeping it there in the vault, in the safe, and so forth. And if the whole year passed and they didn't use it at all, then there will be zakat. So if you use it even one time, two times, three times, then the zakat will fall away. So the law, according to majority scholars, la zakata fil huli. But if you make muqarana, muqaranatul fiqh, muqaranatul madhaib, you start analyzing and drawing a distinction, a comparison, and you juxtapose it. One side the Hanafis, one side majority, and you look at dalail and evidence, and you are not a person who got ta'assub, and you know you're not half crazy, and so like how so many people are today. So you must remember that the Hanafi mazhab here is much stronger than what the majority scholars are saying. So you Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, your madhab tells you that you must not pay zakat. But I am suggesting to you, if you pay, it will be very good. Allah sabilil ihtiyat, as a precaution. So because the dalail and evidence of the Hanafis on this issue is very, very strong.
If a person vomits more than a mouthful while fasting unintentionally, does the roza break?
People today, you know, they just will tell others, your fast is broken, roza to take you on, and they carry on. I'm giving you the hadith and the details, which we call fiqhul hadith, so you must understand how things work. Man qa'a So whoever vomited unintentionally, inadvertently, whether his mouth full or not, fala qaza alayh. Example, you are the lady, you are expecting, and now you vomited now. After Fajr, now 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever time, the fasting time, but it was unintentionally. And remember that there's no qaza, your fast is valid, according to all schools, okay? Then the second part of the hadith, وَمَنْ إِسْتَقَاءَ, whosoever went to vomit, دِيدَ دَعْنِشْتَ, أَمْدًا قَسْدًا, intentionally, deliberately, you inserted your finger in your mouth, or you took a teaspoon and you vomited. You know, when we used to go to school, in Maimon, there's a word from Arabic, it is makr. So then kali kali, we pretend, you know. So I gave you in 4 or 5 languages there. So then when I was small, very young, now I don't want to school, I want to drop school, I want to play truant. So I put my finger in my mouth and then the vomit comes out. But the mother is a master. So she would tell my father, Imakar Kareto, that he's pretending. He don't want to go to school. He don't, I just want to play fools here. You know, our mothers, they know, you see. So now you did that while fasting, that you inserted your finger, teaspoon, then you vomited deliberately. Now understand the fiqh, according to Shafi's, Malik's, Hanbali's, whether it is mouthful or not, your fast is broken, and for alayhi al-qadha, and qadha will be compulsory. Hanafis only say, وَمَنْ إِسْتَقَاءَ فَعَلَيْهِ الْقَضَىٰ, when you vomit deliberately, intentionally, and it is مِلْءُ الْفَمْ, it is for a mouthful, then only it will break. So the issue is about mouthful. Majority scholars say you don't have to worry about mouthful. Once it's intentional, the vomiting, the fast is broken and qadha is compulsory. And the Hanafis say it must be intentional, deliberately, and mouthful. Then the fast is broken and qadha is compulsory. The hadith I quoted now you will find in Bulughul Maram, Mishkat, Mustad Ahmad, various hadith, various compilations. So that is how you must understand it properly.
The Imam in Taraweeh reads one rakat. Does the qiraat read in the first rakat have to be repeated?
Remember that now is weekend also, so sometimes the Imam, he will read 3 rakat Taraweeh or 1 rakat Taraweeh. That can happen, he's human being. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mistake in salat. Zuhur salat or asr salat. Some ulama say zuhur, some say asr. The master alayhi salatu salam in Medina Munawwara, instead of reading 4 rakats, read 2 rakats. So imam made big mistake, we understand. But what happened to the 50, 100 people, 200 people behind the imam? Your imam read 1 rakat and he made salam and all of you just went on, follow the Pied Piper. What you thinking of your wife or the second wife or somebody else's wife? Or you thinking about your weekend, where you're going to go to and the bride you're going to have? So all this is shaitaniyat, you must remember that. Oh, imams, before you stand on the musalla, say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khinzab. Ya Allah, protect me from khinzab. The word khinzab is mentioned in Muslim Sharif. He blows our fuses and confuses us. So therefore, read that. That 2 rakats must be repeated, what the imam read 1 rakat. The portion of Quran he read, all that must be repeated. Because that 1 rakat for Taraweeh is null and void. Remember today 2 to 4 Q&A. Jazakallahu khairan wa salim kareem. Our Junaid Mota, Jinnat Mota will send me the podcast. Inshallah, we will send it out. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.